So, when did counseling stop being about problem solving?
Well, not anymore.
Introducing solution-focused counseling
with the Unlicensed Counselor.
And now, here's your host, Steve Moak.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the Unlicensed Counselor. My name is Steve Moak. I am the Unlicensed Counselor, as always. So grateful to be here on this beautiful, sunny Scottsdale, Arizona day. Man, it is just that perfect time of year. Don't mean to brag on my city, but man, it is, it's the good stuff that's going on right now. Hope you're enjoying the world wherever you're at as the springtime is kind of rolling out there into the world. Got some fun stuff I want to dig into and talk about today on the episode. Again, we're kind of continuing. It's actually going to be the last part of the four-part series on vices. And today I want to talk about lying. Now, you may or may not think of lying necessarily as kind of your traditional vice, like smoking, drinking, gambling, girls, you know, whatever it is. But I think it's one that we all participate in a little bit more than we think. And I'd like to start talking about why, right? What is lying? The reasons why people lie. You know, what is a compulsive liar? How do we stop lying and change that behavior? So it's just some stuff, you know, and again, I know we're all guilty of this. But I've really made a change in my life. Not that I was lying so much, but sometimes you would just leave little parts out here and there. And I'm like, why do I do that? Or if, you know, just little things along the way. And I've been thinking about it a lot. And I'm like, let's just bring it out into the open. Let's talk about lying a little bit more. So had that on my mind. And then again, we're still going to go out and repost. I'm going to re-record, Robin. Let's go ahead and do the, you know, book me down for that sex addiction talk. And we'll go ahead and post that one out into the world as well, too. It's an interesting topic. That was caught in kind of that in-between, that start and stop of the movie or the move to the other studio and back. So let's get it back in-house and keep it on over here. But before we dive back into all that, I want to say a big thank you to our friends over at ShareTech. Go to betterdrugtest.com. Look, this is a company I've been involved with for years now, and I'm proud to have them as a sponsor on our show. If you listen to this show, you know, we talk a lot about drug and alcohol addiction. That means you may be in the market for an at-home drug and alcohol screen. Honestly, there is not a better choice in the market than the ShareTech drug test. Go to betterdrugtest.com. Again, it's going to tell you the levels of the substance. It's done from the privacy of your own home, but it's sent to a lab. It can't be cheated. This is not your Amazon, your Walmart, CVS, pee in a cup, look at the strip, see if you're see if you see something or not. This is an accurate lab-based test done discreetly from the privacy of your own home. So go to betterdrugtest.com. And again, big thanks to our friends over at ShareTech as well. And we're rooting for them and their continued success as well, too. Always like to talk about the work that I'm doing on the nonprofit side as well, too. Go to thestopstartshere.org. That is youth drug abuse prevention, solely focused on social media. Again, we believe that the one-hour school assembly talking about the dangers of drugs and alcohol is nice, but it's 2024. We think we need to have a more consistent and reinforced message around youth drug abuse prevention, and we're going to do that via social media. That's what everybody's looking at, right? So we take this stuff very seriously and look for our bold, edgy content that we continue to roll out there as well, too. And again, shameless plug for the Unlicensed Counselor. Go give us a follow on all the usual social channels. Still working on getting that YouTube channel up and going. I think we're at like 11 or 12 people. It's a slow journey over there on the old YouTube world. But again, continue to support us, and we sure do appreciate that. So back to the topic du jour, right? So what is lying? Let's just kind of set the stage for what is lying. I know we all know what a lie is, but honestly, lying is a complex behavior with various psychological and social dimensions to it. It involves kind of making a statement that the speaker knows to be false, especially with the intent to deceive, mislead, or kind of confuse someone else. So let's dig into really kind of what is lying and the ways that you can kind of lie, right? And I believe strongly in all these, and actually we even had some pre-show discussion around this as well too. But the first one is deception, right? So intentionally providing false information to another person. I mean, that's just an outright, what do they call it, bold-faced lie, where you're just telling somebody information that is just inaccurate. You know, sometimes I feel like this is the way our news operates sometimes in the world these days, but I'm not sure. Maybe that's just this Unlicensed Counselor's view on it. But the second thing is fabrication, right? So creating a narrative or fact that is untrue. So that's kind of making things up out of thin air or kind of, you know, spinning the story in a certain way that it's just not accurate or is outright untrue, right? So I'm sure we all know people, or we've done it ourselves, or been on the receiving end of kind of fabrication of stories and things like that. And the next way is exaggeration, right? So enhancing or diminishing a truth to mislead or impress others. So, you know, this is one that I don't know if it's probably, I'm not going to say I've used more because you hate to admit to lying, but if you exaggerate something, or what I've found myself doing in certain times where it's like, you know, what's a good example of it? It's like, you know, if something, if I accomplished a feat or a goal and it was, you know, I bench pressed 200 pounds or maybe I said it was 210 or something like that. It was like weird little things where it's like, why didn't you just be specific and accurate with it versus just kind of nonchalantly maybe over exaggerating it just a little? And I'm sure it's kind of something in the back of my brain that I just, you know, intentionally or unintentionally didn't do. So it's just something that I've thought about, and I'm like, why do I do that? Why? What compels me to do that, or why does it just kind of happen automatically, right? Now, this next one is one that we were actually talking, Robin and I were talking before the show about when I said we were going to talk about lying today, and this is, you know, lying by omission, right? And she agrees, and I agree, that this is 100% lying. You know, not disclosing or leaving out the critical information to manipulate the perception of truth is lying, right? Not giving someone the full story, not being totally clear. You know, early on, you know, in my divorce, right, I felt like this was happening a lot of the time when my communication with my ex-wife, right? It was like, wait a minute, actually, I could probably check a lot of these on my list that I did in the show prep here, but let's just talk about omission right now. You know, it was like she would be leaving out important pieces of elements about maybe where they were with my daughter or where they were staying and different things like that. So she wasn't telling me a mistruth necessarily, at least that I'm aware of, but omitting things, and then you find out when your daughter would come back and say something, you're like, wait, what? That wasn't disclosed to me or something like that. We've all been there, right? And we've all done this as well, too. But let's be very clear that this is a form of lying as well, too. And if you have someone who's maybe a habitual omisser, all right? Omitter, right? That's the word that we're looking for. That is the same as lying here. So let's not let that slide while we're kind of thinking about this in lying as well, too. And then the last point about kind of what is lying is denial. So refusing to acknowledge the truth or reality of a situation, right? If you're flat out just denying, and you know that it's, you know, not acknowledging the truth or the reality of whatever the situation is, I mean, that is a form of lying as well, too. So, you know, I just wanted to set the stage at the beginning of the discussion today around kind of what lying really is. So now let's go to maybe reasons why someone would lie. So kind of digging into that psychological side around why exactly someone would choose to do this. And I do think it's interesting. I feel like some people choose to intentionally lie, and then some people just kind of casually lie as if they've always, it just comes more naturally to them. And I'm going to talk about what a compulsive liar in here is as well, too. And I'm not even 100% sure as to why that is, but it is something that I'd really, you know, would be curious to dig into a little bit more, but maybe think about that as you're thinking in your own life, or maybe thinking of someone who has been, you know, known or prone to lying in your own world as well, too. But the number one reason why people lie is to avoid punishment, right? So this is probably the most common reason, especially in children, but it also happens to adults, and that's to avoid the repercussions of their actions, right? So you're lying in order not to get caught or get busted, right? So, you know, if you get accused of cheating on your wife or cheating on your husband, you don't want the punishment and shame or divorce and all those other things. You don't want to get found out. So you're just going to lie. No, I didn't. I was on a business trip, or no, I was over at my friend's house, or whatever the excuse. I mean, just outright lie, because you don't want to get the punishment that's going to go along with that, right? So the number two reason I had on my list of why people lie is to gain an advantage, right? So lying to obtain something that might not otherwise be attainable, such as a job, I mean, this is a form of lying, right? To get that competitive advantage if you're going and, you know, I'll say there's a difference between kind of bolstering your resume and then outright lying about certain qualifications, or I taught at a university that you did not teach at, or I was a President's Club salesperson for this business and you were not. I mean, that is lying, you know, kind of fluffing up a resume some. I know there's maybe a gray line there, but you want to position yourself in the best light humanly possible to get a job, and I'm all for that. But in terms of making up credentials and things like that, look, you know, I went to graduate school for 3.5 years to become, you know, a counselor. I completed all of the coursework. I didn't finish the practicum. I'm not going to hide that I am a licensed counselor or try and tell people that I am a licensed counselor. Look at the screens behind me. It's the unlicensed counselor. I mean, I'm very clear about this. And, you know, could it be easy to kind of say, yeah, I went to graduate school and completed all the coursework, right? And just didn't follow through with the last couple parts. But no, I'm really trying to practice kind of the rigorous honesty in my life. And it's challenging, and it's more challenging not in like conversations that you have with people on a day-to-day basis, but you know, on maybe you're doing a return on Amazon or something that you didn't really like, or and it's easy to kind of fudge some of those things. Like, there are some little ways around kind of being honest and having that integrity that comes within yourself. And you know, when no one's looking or no one could really know that you weren't kind of, you know, I think about returns on Amazon time or kind of stretching the truth or sometimes like that. I've known that people have done that in the past as well too. So I don't know, just, you know, examples that I'm thinking about, little ways in line and how we can kind of start to live a little more rigorously honest as we go through this. So the third reason that I have is reasons why people lie is to protect others, right? So to spare someone else's feelings, to prevent them from harm, you know, this could be kind of the white lie, right? The little white lie. So you're trying to lie to maybe not hurt somebody's feelings or, you know, little things like that. You know, I understand why and how this happens, and I'm not condoning it, but if this, you know, maybe there's some examples or instances where this little white lie maybe is the right course of action. But my fear in that, and when used sparingly, right? But my fear in that is that it kind of creates a pattern of behavior or thinking that it's okay. And that's what I really don't like. You know, you go out on a first date and, you know, maybe you didn't really connect with that person or something like that. And maybe you tell a little white lie that you just, this wasn't, you know, it's not the right timing for me, or I'm getting back together with my ex, or you know, something kind of innocuous to kind of, you know, not hurt the other person's feelings as you're going to go through it. That seems like an all right thing to do, and I'm not even sure I'd have to think it through. It's probably better just to be honest with that person of, hey, I didn't really feel that connection. I appreciate your time. It was very nice to meet you. But, I, you know, those are some examples of like the little white lie things that I just am afraid they can start to get into that slippery slope thing. And all of a sudden now it's a pattern of behavior. Now we really got some issues. All right. Number four reason why people lie, you know, is to protect themselves, right? So to protect one's image or reputation or to avoid embarrassment, right? You know, again, another little examples of how, you know, lying can create these patterns of behavior in your own life. It's like, I remember running a race and I think I was injured or I didn't have my best effort or something like that. And it was somebody to be like, oh, you know, what was your time in the race? And I didn't outright lie, but I might have down-rounded on the time a little bit more. But it, and then I get back and I'm like, but why? Like, hey, they don't care. They're not going to go check that. Why not just be completely honest and just say it wasn't my best time? So if I ran a, you know, 40-minute 5K or something like that, and I was like, yeah, I was in the high 30s or something like that, or, you know, it's little things like that that, you know, again, when I'm looking at my, I'm no saint. I've done these things in the past as well, too. It's like, why didn't we just say what it really was and just be 100% honest versus just kind of fudge it and edge it a little bit? It's like, why? No, just come clean. And I really believe in just that continued, because we're tested constantly. We're tested constantly. And are you passing these tests? Are you being 100% honest all the time? And that's challenging. It's just challenging, especially if you've developed some bad habits over the years of just kind of letting little things slide, right? And how you kind of catch yourself. You almost have to be like, catch yourself at the moment and be like, okay, no, I didn't run a 39.57. I ran a 43.02. Or, you know, I'm just using, you know, dumb examples to kind of highlight the point. So number five, a reason why people ask for personal benefit, right? To gain financially, socially, or personally in some way. You know, you're at the dinner party and you're kind of, you know, maybe exaggerating a story or lying about places that you've been to kind of put yourself out there in the world to kind of puff yourself up. You know, maybe there's some type of deal that if you're able to kind of tell them that you have some credibility or something along the way that you can kind of get an edge on some things and you stand to gain from that personally, financially, professionally, in whatever social circles you run in, right? I mean, just another simple thing that we've probably all been in that situation or have seen others kind of doing that. And you're like, I know they didn't. I didn't do that or that's not their background or whatever it is, right? Number six is to control or manipulate, right? So lying can be used as a tool to control a situation or people's perceptions of actions, right? That definitely sounds like the news these days, but sorry, I didn't come onto this episode to start bagging on the news, but it's just like the control and the manipulation of the narratives and the stories are just, there's no greater example, it feels like. And I'm not saying right or left. I think both sides are equally as bad. You know, I think over time, some sides have proven out some of their things a little more accurately when you look in the rearview mirror. But both sides are guilty of all this thing because they're trying to just sell ads, right? No, but lying really is a form of controlling and manipulation, right? And I've seen that in relationships. You see that, you know, in divorced families and couples with custody situations and things like that. And that stuff gets really ugly and painful, right? So, it makes me just sad to even think about it. And then a couple more reasons why people lie for entertainment. You know, some lie for the sheer thrill of it and how to test, you know, see if other people are gullible. Like, are they going to believe this? And that's where, and I'm going to hit on this next, is that compulsive liar part start to come into play here. And, you know, because people have said, well, what defines kind of a compulsive liar? And I think that that's one of those actions where they're just kind of doing it for the thrill of it, just to kind of test people and see. I remember growing up, I had some people like that, and I'm just like, what? Like, no, I know you. I know you're you're just making that out of whole cloth. So it's like, is that just entertainment? Is you just trying to get a rise out of somebody? Interesting stuff, right? And the last but not least, out of habit. You know, some individuals get into the habit of lying where it becomes a reflexive response to many situations. And that may be the worst of all, right? Is that you've just been doing this for so long and you know, maybe politicians are kind of like this and they just start to believe. And then you're insulated by the people that are around you. And it's like, you've just been saying the same things over and over again. It doesn't make them true, right? It doesn't make them true at all. Just because you keep repeating the same story doesn't mean that the first lie that you told out is now a truth. But I think that people get into these habits and that's where the scary stuff is. And then and then when you get found out, it's like, well, how am I supposed to believe you? Like, how am I supposed to believe anything that's coming out of your mouth when you've just been repeating these same lies knowingly, you know, over time? And some people will use multiple reasons like this as well, too, in multiple ways, from deception to fabrication to exaggeration to omission and denial. So, I mean, I'm just putting all this out there so you can be, you know, kind of on the up and up of when you're having conversations with people and you're going, what in the world is going on? So, all right, that leads me to kind of what a compulsive liar is, right? A compulsive liar is someone who lies out of habit, exactly what we were just talking about, is that lying feels so natural to them that the truth may feel uncomfortable or boring. These individuals will often lie for no personal gain, no obvious reason, and may even tell lies that are easily disprovable, right? You know, in the research that I've done and kind of the courses that I've taken, the causes of compulsive lying are not really fully understood. But, you know, the best guesstimate is really that these are linked to underlying psychological issues, desire for attention, low self-esteem, and then occasionally mental health disorders as well, too, that you're just kind of more prone to this type of thing. So, you know, be aware that if there's somebody that maybe is engaging and just happens to tell a lie in one of these ways, shapes, or forms, be highly aware if you find someone who's repeatedly doing this, because that compulsive liar kind of thing, that's scary stuff. I mean, now how do you know, how can you believe? And maybe that they have some real information that's really important and valuable. But again, it's the boy who cried wolf kind of thing. And it's like, you've burned me so many times. How am I supposed to believe this piece of information that you're sharing with me now, right? Still keeps reminding me of the news. Right. I don't know why this came top of mind today. Lying and news just seemed to go, you know, top of my head today, Robin. I didn't come here. That wasn't even on my show notes. All right. Okay, now, okay, we've talked about lying. We've talked about how you do it, the reasons why people, how do you stop it? How do you change this behavior? Maybe you've been lying for some time. Maybe nobody even knows. Great. Now let's say, all right, I want to start to become rigorously honest, or at least more honest in my life. I want to have more integrity. I want to have better character, you know, because again, you know, lying, you know, to another person is one thing, you know, kind of lying or omitting or doing things when no one's looking. That's a whole other ball of wax. And that's where I'd like to see people start to strive to be. And it would just start to move that way ever so slowly. You know, as usual, these things kind of start with acknowledging the issue, right? Recognizing and admitting to yourself that lying is a problem, right? It all comes back to the 12 steps. I mean, it's even what they say in the rooms of AA as well, too, is you got to, you know, admit that you have a problem. And the same type of thing, and it makes sense, and you know, that you got to be able to admit that you have a problem with lying or maybe, you know, omitting or not telling the truth 100%, right? So number two, let's think about understanding the underlying causes, right? Why do you or does one feel the need to lie, right? Whether it's fear, is it insecurity, is it judgment, is it desire for approval? After maybe you've had a conversation where maybe you exaggerated a little bit, or maybe you told a white lie or something like that, maybe go back to the house, you have it on your mind, and then start to think, why did I do that, right? Was it just out of habit? Was I trying to impress someone? I think that's normal, right? You know, we like to impress people, you know, maybe telling them you went somewhere that you didn't, or, you know, I don't know. There's a million reasons why to. But when you get back and you know you've done that, think about why you did it. And I want you to think about why you did it so that when the next time you're in that situation, you can maybe have the thought and see if you can choose, you know, route B over A, right? Instead of just doing the same thing that you'd always did, maybe you can try and take a different approach, right? All right, number three, and these always make it onto my list as I talk about, you know, no different here, seek professional help, right? You know, therapy can be particularly useful and effective for compulsive liars to address the underlying issues. And again, if you got a mental health condition, I hope you're seeking help for that as well, too. And maybe the lying is kind of a byproduct of that as well, too. So, you know, if you find yourself kind of having these, like, why do I keep doing this? Like, I don't even want to be doing this. Let's sit down with somebody. Let's share openly and honestly, you know, not omit anything about what's going on so that they can maybe give you a little professional help, right? And number four, let's just start practicing honesty, right? Let's start with small truths and gradually work on being more honest in challenging situations. You know, one for me here is, you know, in relationships, whether it's family or loved ones or, you know, dating or whatever it is, It's like being honest about your feelings and being able to say them as well, too. And it's never that I was lying, but it's just like it's hard to extract it out of me as a guy. And I'm not using that as a cop-out or anything, but it's like to say I love you or I'm hurt or I'm sad or that made me feel bad. So, and again, then the default position a lot of times for me, and I know for other guys, would be anger and things like that. So if you can be honest with your partner about these things and actually share some of those feelings and you're practicing honesty and being able to say those words, you're probably going to save yourself a lot of stress and hassle over the course of your life as well, too. And I've seen that as an area for me to start to practice more honesty in my day-to-day as well, too. Work in progress. Don't have this all dialed in. Unlicensed counselor does not mean perfect person over here. I'll tell you that, as I'm sure others in my life would tell you that as well, too. Number five on the list, consider the consequences, right? So reflect on how lying has affected your relationships and your self-respect. Look, there's obvious big ones. You've cheated, you've blown all your money, you've got, you know, you're doing things, you're not telling your wife or your kids or, you know, whatever it is. Start thinking about these things. Okay, maybe you've lied, maybe you've done it, but in that downtime, let's start to reflect on it. How is that affecting my relationship with my wife? Or my kids, or what if they found out about I was doing this, right? Start thinking about those things ahead of time and see if that can start to mitigate some of the, you know, the kind of impulse to lie, right? Number six, find some support, right? Talk to a trusted friend, a family member, support group, clergy. Let's look for some encouragement, maybe some accountability, right? If you go to a church or if you have a men's group or whatever it is, you don't necessarily need to announce it to the group, but if you got a trusted friend, be like, look, you know what? I've just found that I'm just stretching things a little bit. I'm not saying everything that I feel like I need to be saying. Like, I just, I would like to be a little more honest, right? I keep using the term rigorous honesty, which is something I strive for in my life. And then maybe just have some one-on-ones and see if you guys can meet for coffee every so often and be like, hey, how's it going? All right, still struggling with this? What's going on? How can I help, right? I got two more on my list, and then we'll call it an episode. How about developing new coping strategies, right? So learning healthier ways to cope with anxiety, stress, or whatever triggers that impulse to lie, right? So finding a new way instead of kind of just immediately blurting out a lie to kind of position yourself or impress others or whatever. Find another way to kind of deal with that situation instead of just defaulting to the lying position, right? You know, look for other ways to kind of, you know, relieve that anxiety or that stress, which I think is where oftentimes some of these lies come from. And last but not least on the list, you know, be patient and be kind to yourself during this process, right? You know, changing these deep-seated habits takes time. Setbacks are going to occur. You'll probably slip up from time to time. Go easy on yourself. These are a process. And that's why I always like to say you got to practice these things and practice it in small, kind of what seem like inconsequential ways. And I think over time that you'll start to rewire your brain and that pattern of lying will start to shift away, right? Look, this is a challenging one. There's the big lies, there's the little white lies, there's the omitting stuff, it's the saying stuff to impress others. But I think if you really do an honest assessment of who you are and how you want to be and kind of strive for, I use the term rigorous honesty, you know, I think you can start to get there. And in 6 months, 12 months, all of a sudden you're going to be like, you know what, that was a really great exercise that I kind of embarked on to try and just be more honest with myself and be more honest with the people around you. And really not get stuck in kind of some of these patterns that you've maybe been stuck at over the last couple of years. So had that on my mind, thought it was an interesting topic, wanted to just throw that out there to the audience to kind of get your thoughts. It's something that obviously is going to impact our lives on a day-to-day basis. So hope you got a lot of value and benefit out of it as well, too. And if you have somebody that's kind of coming to mind on this topic, send them this episode as well, too. And love to hear their thoughts on it as well. My name is Steve Moak. I am the Unlicensed Counselor. Until next time, thank you very much.